I always thought that the Vasana meditation is...
New, the other country.
Better?
Yeah. Better.
Better. I always thought it was a good tool, so to speak, to deal with grief, with loss.
Still
not hearing.
A little bit fast with the voice.
Okay.
So I heard the word tool and I heard lust.
As using the meditation, the Vipassana, as a tool to deal with loss, with grief.
Oh, loss.
Loss.
Loss would have been more interesting, but loss is very
hard. Makes it more, yeah.
All right, go on. All right.
Sorry. And I'm finding it very hard, especially throughout this retreat.
Yeah. So, we enter into the retreat for a period of time. And in the duration of the retreat, some memories that may come, or circumstances, and then there is the experience of the feeling of loss. Would you like to be specific? You don't have to be, but if you wish, about what the loss is.
I will. My dog died on Saturday.
Yeah.
I went out on Saturday and she died. We buried her on Saturday, and on Sunday morning I decided I'm coming back to the retreat. Maybe try to deal with the loss this way.
Yeah. So, say a little bit about the time and the time and the relationship. To the animal, to the dog.
She's been with me for 16 years.
16 years.
16 years. So looking at it from that point, she had a very nice, very nice long life.
So
we were together for a long time.
Yeah. And of course, humans and animals, sentient beings, and with consciousness, and with feelings, and perhaps they have a language, but that obviously not as wide a repertoire of language, but they certainly know pleasure, and they know pain, and they know change in terms of aging, and they know fear and anger and love and support. And therefore share many of the characteristics that we as humans share. And part of our sensitivities is to be respectful to, in a way, three kinds of animals in the world, I would say. The pets, domestic animals, who are great friends to people, and then animals of the wild, and then the animals that are in farms. And animals seem to have a consciousness, you might describe something similar to babies and very young children. There's much similarity, part of human responsibility for us to really take care. And it's precious that animal stays with the human being, and over again such a long period of time, and a very close relationship can develop through that contact. And one other person also left the retreat to attend a funeral, and has returned. And these circumstances quite happen, obviously, regularly. How was it for you both during the retreat and leaving, coming?
When I got the phone call, it was pretty immediate.
Yep.
So not much thinking, just going there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And coming back, I just I was thinking of it. I woke up on Sunday morning and I realized I just cannot stay in the house.
Yes.
And I came here, and after a few hours, all the emotions started coming up.
Yeah.
Overwhelming.
Yeah. So the contact, what was your dog's name?
Nikita.
Nikita. The contact with Nikita, all those countless expressions of support, feeding, play, contact over these years leaves huge wealth of memory. Then there's the change, there's the death, and in that loss, it leaves a kind of hole inside, a gap in one's life. That gives a feeling life with the memory, the opportunity in the way to release much in the way of feelings and memory and thought, which then has the opportunity, when not fighting it, to settle, and there may be some there sadness at the end of the loss.
Sadness, of course, but also a lot of regret, remorse, stuff like that coming up.
It's the additional aspect. So, which requires some mindfulness, the thought of regret and remorse, in a way, is the desire for things to have been different from what they are.
Yeah.
Is there anything useful in that desire, that wanting? You remember you want it to be different from, to be something else. Is there anything useful in that wish or desire or wanting that generates this remorse?
Once I see it as death, then no, because, you know, it happened.
Alright.
Once I realize it's remorse and regret, then, okay, try and put that aside, but I'm still left with the feeling.
Yeah. The feeling level is the normal, healthy human response to loss. It's indispensable for human beings who are human feelings as well. Is there anything specifically for you to regret or have remorse about?
The end was not easy.
You or the dog or both?
Well, I'm still here.
Same question.
Or both, I guess. In a sense, she decided to get up and start walking just a minute before the vet came to give her the injection.
Yep.
And just 2 minutes before he started walking.
Yep.
And he got very, very sick from it. And it wasn't with a...
With responsibility, in this case, of what we call the owner, then also can come these kind of decisions at the end. Yeah. What was the primary reason you called in the vet to give Nikita the injection?
That was their third or fourth year in the week, during this week. The third one during the week.
The third or fourth?
Seizure.
Seizure.
like the vet said before, well, if it's not going to operation, then it's going to happen again and again.
Yeah. And when the seizures occurred for the dog, what indicated the seizure for the dog? What happened? What was the dog going through?
Her stomach would pop up like a balloon and go into a lot of suffering. That's something that you can say. Maybe she's suffering now.
Yeah. With that certainly would be, the pain would be extraordinarily intense. So though the dog managed to get on its feet at the end, nevertheless, I'm asking you, Phil, there's some doubt probably, but clear about the decision, seeing that the dog had these seizures.
Once it happened again, I would hold it. The regrets came the day after.
So there was some, you felt clarity at the time, and then the following day these regrets came. The substance of the regret is that you didn't wait, or the substance, or it's just a reaction? What's the sense?
It's a hard question. Because, of course, there's one side that says, maybe I should, the mind tells a lot of stories about the regret, the remorse, the doubts.
Mm.
It's all the same stories.
Yes.
I don't think it really makes a difference.
No. All right. Fair enough. So, looked at the situation, you have responsibilities as the pet, 16 years old, suffering from the expanded stomach, the bleeding that's taking place. It happened more than once. You bring in the vet, give the dog the injection, and not easy either to make the decision, and as you point out, the next day, how quickly, easily, there's a rising of regret. And sometimes there's the necessity there to keep trust with the original decision.
The original decision to come back here, or to put
the dog down?
Yeah, the fact that I was certain while doing it was, I guess, good enough in that sense.
And that each person who has a pet may be faced with that kind of action. Given now that some days are going by, are you finding yourself more at peace with the event and with the subsequent days?
Yesterday evening, give or take, I was trying to really think what to make out of all this.
Yes.
I think Stephen told me the other day something, that don't think that life and death are something that you really have control over.
Mm-hmm.
And so taking this and really trying to make out of it, and I figured that, what was he trying to say, And I'm kind of trying to get the lesson of, she said, she always had her way.
Always had
her way.
Yeah.
With a stubborn one.
Mm-hmm.
And even, while trying to put her down, she said, "No, I'm going to die on my feet." And trying to take my lesson from it would be just don't try and act poor or something. Break good, I guess. Do whatever, even death, I guess.
Yeah. Sometimes the animals with their sensitivities and their intuition do know that death is very, very close at hand, and you may well be right. Your animal wished to meet and come to its end with a kind of uprightness and dignity, and all credit to your dog for doing that, and it's a good reminder to all of us. Thank you. and quite meditative. Yes, and you won't in time. Yes, please come. With the recording? The mic. Okay. This should be the microphone close at hand.
Okay.
And we have to get the microphone fairly close, so we could say it like that. Okay.
You said a few days ago?
Yeah. Mic closer.
You ended one of your thoughts.
It would be closer.
You said, I'll make it short, okay? You said something about, you ended one of your talks saying something about no consequences. And I wanted to ask you, what does that mean?
Yeah.
No consequences for, like, what does it mean to act or be acting morally?
Yeah.
If there are no consequences.
Mm-hmm. In the talk the other day, there were, I don't know how long I talked, let's say 50 minutes. There were more questions about the last two or three sentences than the rest of it. The rest of it was conveniently forgotten. and most of the questions started off, what do you mean?
I did not forget.
You didn't, no. Others asked in the same way, and I had said to Stephen and Lena, must find time to expand. So thank you for coming and give me the opportunity. But if I can just avoid answering for 5 minutes, and I'll put you on the Dharma seat here. I'll cover the first 98.5% of the talk in two or three sentences. Now I'm going to ask you. So, human beings are very, in quick summary here, human beings are very much engaged in our intention, our action, or inaction, sometimes, and the results. At times, in this movement, we recognize there is something, as I said in the first part, unhealthy or unwholesome or unskillful or inappropriate, and it brings its result, its fruit, and its consequences. Yeah. And that also, obviously, can have the impact on the other. So, a person who wishes to look carefully and explore in the depth of life will say to herself or himself, this is unsatisfactory, I don't want to live like this, with this. Yeah. Therefore, one aspect of what we explore is the changing, if not the dissolving, or the fading, or the dropping, or the insight into, which dramatically reduces the kind of intentions, conscious or unconscious, the actions and its consequences, change all of that. And therefore, to enable us as people to develop, in contrast to that, more and more, which is already with us, of the volitions and the intentions, the actions and the consequences, the results, which we feel and sense is genuinely beneficial for us, kindness, love, friendship, compassion, service, generosity, giving, sharing, letting go, and much, much else, which we put under the umbrella concept for the moment of a wholesome, healthy, intelligent, skillful approach in which there is the application of the intention, there is the action itself, we're not afraid, and we genuinely see in a healthy and wholesome way the benefit for ourselves and frequently the benefit for others. So 98.5% of the talk was on that. Right, it's going to be over to you for a minute or two. Is there a way of being in the world? Have you had some experience of this, in which there is an engagement there, in which consequences, which is the same as fruit, which is the same as results, which is the same as effect, really do not have a priority for you? Are there any actions that you can recall which effects, results, consequences, fruits, to use the various words, simply are not in any way a priority for you? Anything comes to you. Anything.
No.
Fair enough. Why not? It's a very difficult question.
I don't know, I think I care too much.
Can you hear me? You have to treat the microphone up either like an ice cream or a lover.
I have none. So.
You have none? Won't make a male comment on that one. I'm teasing you. Go on.
Right. I think I care too much about the consequences.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's all too human.
Yeah.
So, in Dharma language, put the Dharma hat on for a moment, if I may. In Dharma language, humanly enough, and sweetly enough, not undermining, the care for the consequences of what we say, of what we do, how we relate to life, is an expression, that care, of something wholesome. And there is in it, in Dharma language, the action, which is the translation of the word karma. So the action which has karma in it, in a very healthy, wholesome, good karma, let's call it good karma, there, does have the genuine interest of the subject, which is you, in the object, which is the result. What's the outcome of what I do? What is the outcome of what I say? And this is a normal way of relating to life, in which we give a lot of priority, shall we say, to the intentions, actions, and the outcomes, the result. The Buddha, the teachings, is deeply interested in the cessation of karma. Deeply interested. And therefore, it's not the getting rid of the action, it's looking in a completely fresh way of what it is to be and what it is to act. And those few sentences at the end were just touching upon that. So I'm still going to, if you don't mind, pass it back over to you. Could it? Right, as you say, I can't recall, I can't. Right now, there's always some pressure, people sitting here. I can't recall right now any particular action which was not connected with some outcome. And so, care and concern, and all of that. So, if I ask in another way, what's your response if I ask, could it be significant to have no interest in results and consequences? Could it be significant to have no interest, or minimum, if we're being kind, but no interest essentially, in outcome, in the impact, in the effect, in the fruit? Could there be something significant about that? Yes. Profoundly significant.
Yes, because it sounds like freedom, but...
Ah! Music! Music, alright. Alright. It sounds like freedom. It sounds like freedom to me too. Right. So, let's explore that a little bit. Why for you does it sound like freedom?
Because being free just to act without judging all the time,
all
right, without the consequences or like measuring
action. All right. Action, ah, gosh, very good statements, I have to say. Okay. Okay. So, where there is dependency on the result, we might be getting approval, either approval from the other, approval from myself. There, as you said, there is the situation then, how easy is, there is a lot of judgment easily going on, approval and disapproval, maybe, as we heard from the good speaker earlier, right and wrong. And it can be, not always, a kind of imprisonment. One is so dependent on how I view the result, or how others view it, or we both view it there. So, if the dependency is fading away, and all the judgments, and sometimes the right and wrongs that go along with it, there is a genuine freedom in that, and the freedom from that. Is there anything else that comes to you which also confirms a freedom with action?